Spanish, but I just want to share a couple of words, just like a brief introduction. So my name is Boca Floja. I'm a poet. I'm an MC organizer. I was born in Mexico City, now living in New York. I'm part of one of the first generations of hip-hop artists in Mexico City. And I'm the founder of a collective called Quilombo Arte. As Jorge mentioned, Quilombos was the name that during the colonial times, the name that was used for to name the maroon communities that existed in the colonial time, escaping from the system and kind of like negotiating, forming autonomous communities. So in Mexico the name was Mocambos. In Colombia they used Palenque. So we're trying to use that image in order to reivindicate certain elements nowadays. So when we talk about race in Mexico, it's really problematic because there's no room at all for blackness, you know. And also, of course, I mean, we're more familiar with the indigenous experience, but if even that element, we all know it's hundreds of years of oppression and marginalized. It's not a mystery that the wealthy people in Mexico is basically white Mexicans. You know, it's not a mystery, and that is because after independence, when everybody was like celebrating this whole idea of Mexico was a free country, and Mexico being an independent country from Spain, we passed from being colonized by Spain to have a new model of internal colonialism, where the direct descendants of the Spanish conquistadores were now in the positions of power, right? So they molded the whole idea of Mexico as a nation under their convenience. So till today, that is like super problematic because one of the main strategies that they used in order to keep us oppressed and totally subordinated is the fact that they created this image called the raza cósmica, right? Where they say that Mexicans are made of every race. Like, it's like a huge melting pot where everybody's kind of like a little bit of something, right? So that was like a really powerful strategy to avoid the race discussion, because they say like, well, it's not possible to have racism in a place where everybody is basically the same, right? But we know that that's totally a myth. That is not true at all, because I don't know if you're familiar with Mexico, if you ever been there, but that's totally different. That whole colonial process affected our psyche really powerful. So till today, if people wants to make fun of you just turn on the TV and it's unbelievable how indigenous and black icons are used, or the way they represent it is just like totally ridiculous and stupid. Like one of the most famous comedians is called La India María, and the way they represent like an indigenous woman coming from outside of the city, like not knowing how to speak Spanish, and this people just making fun of her, treating her as an animal, and that's just like pretty lame, you know. And on the other hand, we have like characters like El Negro Tomás, which is this young boy that he's kind of like always making sexual jokes. The his mother is dressed up as a nanny, like the stereotypical. He's more like a Sambo. So it's just like the way it was constructed, thanks to this architect of Mexicanidad, this Porfirio Diaz dictator. The way he put it together is basically glorifying the elements that white culture was supposed to share with it, to Mexicans, and just like minimize or totally erase any other or any benefits or aportaciones de la cultura indígena y negra. So till today, it's really problematic. And one relevant thing is that in order to legitimize this democratic process in this neoliberal times, the government started to recognize certain elements because it was convenient, not because they changed their minds and they'd be like, oh yeah, no, we love black people, we love indigenous people, or that's not true. I mean, what they did is basically use those elements to like only in the just to exoticize, right? And be like, okay, we gotta be more on point with our politics and legitimize this democratic process and sell Mexico outside Mexico and to the eyes of the world as a place that is like al nivel de las políticas mundiales, like racial democracy and all that, right? As Jorge mentioned before. So basically, now they're trying to include these elements of black culture in festivals and a couple of programs, like specifically in culture. The thing is that they only are doing this work on the safe elements of black culture, right? They are only focused on talking about language, food, every cultural element, like music. They want to do a festival and they want to bring Son Jarocho. They want to talk about, they want to discuss about the origins of marimba. They want to discuss about which words that we use on our everyday basis are of African origin. All those elements that somehow, some way, they can capitalize to the eyes of the world, right? But at the end of the day, there's not a political agenda of self-determination or an agenda that will eventually function as a platform to develop black consciousness within the context of the Mexican identity, because it will definitely compromise the whole package of Mexico as a state and as an entity. So that's kind of like the route that I'm trying to do with my work, trying to put all these elements together and trying to build like a new agenda in order to have the right not only to express a process of self-determination, but a process of self-denomination. I consider myself of African descent and indigenous descent. So based on my own experience, I'm trying to use the power of hip hop music or the power of poetry or the access that I have to speak to the youth and be heard to bring this type of topics to the table, because I consider it is really relevant. And now that I'm living here in the United States, when I see in several communities the constant conflict between black and brown communities, I wonder if we as Mexican people, whatever that means, would be more aware of where we're coming from. Probably we won't be seeing the black people or black people from the United States as the other, as something that is totally detached and totally different from us, you know, because that's what the Porfiriato helped to build, you know, this idea that Mexicans got nothing to do with this other strange being that is too far away from us. So that is like one of the reasons why there's a lot of conflicts, and it goes back like to the colonial times. I'm sure Jorge is aware of that situation, that in some cases, like the way that the conquistadores worked was they used the some of the black slaves as capataces of the indigenous ones. So that on your psyche, that thing is pretty problematic, because from way back you were seeing the other as your enemy, right? So it's pretty complex. So what I do mostly is trying to express all these topics as through poetry, right? So I'm gonna share a couple of pieces that navigate along these topics. The racial element, the African element with the Mexican context, and also all the other situations that come after this colonial process, you know, because there's another important point. In Mexico, as in several places in Latin America, even the leftist movements are not really comfortable to debate or talk about these issues, because they want to center the whole discussion in class struggle. They don't want to go to the racial element, because it's still uncomfortable. You know, it's still like compromising a lot of values than even the leftist movements are representing. So in that sense, I want to put that in the table too, because I truly believe a lot of social issues, or the big majority of issues, are totally connected with the colonial history, and race is the origin of a lot of these processes that are developing into inequities at a social level, economical level. So I'm gonna start sharing a couple of pieces. Like I said, it's gonna be in Spanish, but at the end of the short spoken word presentation, maybe if you wanna if you have any question, we can start a dialogue. So this one's called Sopa de Letras, which means alphabet soup. So yeah, I'm gonna share a couple of pieces, and then we'll go from there. If you wanna, we're gonna open the dialogue, and we can discuss, and we're gonna bring back Jorge just to talk about a couple of this relevant issue. So this one's called Sopa de Letras, and it says something like this. ¿Quién será el primero en atreverse a recitar las palabras mágicas? La formulación irrefrenable del cómo, cuándo y dónde proceder con el incierto a cuestas. ¿Quién deconstruye al criollo en esta república ignominiosa? Ser ciudadano es diferente a ser ciudadanizado. Abro paréntesis. Isabel la Católica no ha muerto. Vive en cada manifiesto del White Savior, matándonos suave, extracción sin dolor, anestesia. Comprar y leer una monografía hechiza era mi tarea como cultivación del amor patrio en la escuela primaria. Comprar y leer su monocultura alineada como nulificación del empoderamiento es una muerte anunciada. Autodefensa es una necesidad primaria. ¿Qué más terrorífico que la fabricación de los niños héroes? Hoy navegando entre 100,000 muertos enrollados con la bandera honrosa durante los 6 años de reinado de Don Felipe.
Máxime si es que los prietos se sublevan. Máximo si es que la cuenta maniquea. Maximiliano en Habsburgo regodea. Y aquí, brincando como un nuevo ejercicio para salvarnos del terrorismo mediático corta piernas. Frustrar toda posibilidad de conexión entre Tabasco y Cochabamba. Repito, frustrar toda posibilidad de conexión entre Tabasco y Cochabamba. Grupo Carso informa. El marcador en el zócalo de la Ciudad de México. Plutocracia 1, el resto nada y no es ninguno. Repito, plutocracia 1, el resto nada y no es ninguno. Este es el 2045 y la caricatura sigue intacta. De mulato con india y guaralobo, de coyote con indio chamizo, de español y africano zambaibo, jíbaro, china, tresalvo, cambujo, salta para atrás. Salto para atrás y se desdibuja el astral prometido. Las notas de Jaime Nuno a mí jamás me han podido. El humor es síntoma perspicaz de una conducta determinada. Aportar con la risa sería ser cómplice de mi propio abuso. Hartazgo al borde de la violencia y la llegada sublime de un rumor que cobija. Disminución notoria de la apatía, sentimiento generalizado, apreciación táctil. ¿Es acaso un diagnóstico creado a base de un placebo previo? El suceso no salió en las fotos y estadísticas de la prensa. Esta es la movilización de la vergüenza digna. Abracemos el momento histórico y forcemos un acto de implosión controlado. Recojámonos en pedazos y armemos de nuevo esta gran sopa de letras con maña transgresiva. Cogiendo impulso, aquí cogiendo impulso hasta descojonarles la armonía jerárquica, su melancolía blanca, su andanza criolla regresiva, su euforia aria, su tibieza gris mestiza. Con esta marioneta libertaria en una sopa de letras con swagger, quiero hacer llover dinero para preñar tierra e imprimir pasaportes nuevos, caducidad para este sueño cacofónico. ¿Quién será el primero en atreverse a recitar las tres palabras mágicas? Gracias. That piece is talking about this whole idea of defending the nation, right? This whole concept behind nationalist pride. So it was like it's really problematic because it's the way it works is basically it's a really crazy strategy to neutralize oppressed people, right? Because you can't go against the supreme element that is supposed to be backing you up as a nation. So that's the way we grew up, like always saying like, there's no other like Mexico, como Mexico no hay dos. So it doesn't matter how bad is our situation, you're supposed to feel proud of this whole entity. So it's not a mystery that every time that you, on recent history, when there's like a devaluation económica, like a really crazy economic crisis, like 24 hours later, there's immediately like a really relevant sports victory from a Mexican. That's like it's like a way to put the eyes of the people on a different thing, and that is like totally connected. You know, like the worst crisis in Mexico around in recent history, economic in terms of economics, like in 1988. Next day, Julio César Chávez was literally forced to win a boxing championship, like Mexican soccer games, like a couple of years ago with the whole. They just killed the state secretary. So, anyways, it's really really problematic. So I'm gonna do this one, and I'm gonna need your help. So we're gonna like re-signify this whole response and talk and response dynamic. So I'm gonna say qué es lo que dicen que soy, which means what do they say am I? And you're gonna try to help me saying qué es lo que dicen que somos. Okay? Podemos tratar? Can we try? I'm gonna say qué es lo que dicen que soy. You're gonna say no. I'm gonna say qué es lo que dicen que soy. You're gonna say qué es lo que dicen que somos. Is that right? All right. Check it. Qué es lo que dicen que soy.
Qué
Glorificadores de la estupidez en verborrea sincopada y títeres del sistema contribuyendo a la somnolencia colectiva a través de la rima ejerciendo un poder subjetivo a través de una firma. Yo no lo asumo. Somos la contradicción hecha verdad por la fuerza. Somos corteza de un árbol trasplantado bajo una falsa promesa. Somos certeza en la comunicación social sin diploma. Intelectuales de un barrio que aflora. ¿Qué es lo que dicen que soy?
¿Qué es lo que dicen que soy?
El improductivo numérico estadístico, el del regalo lingüístico, la creación de un argot propagandístico, adorador de lo místico, los de la sensible añoranza al mar en la diáspora, madre con depresión activa y padre con alcohol en el ánfora. ¿Cierto? ¿Falso? ¿Acaso el entendimiento sería el exacto si mi pueblo por preferencia eligiera el caminar descalzo? Somos los que aún debaten quiénes son. El sueño del imperialista, la pesadilla recurrente del no alineado idealista, los que a conciencia rehusan la servilleta en el cuello. Arriba dijeron burdo y abajo gritamos bello. ¿Qué es lo que dicen que soy? ¿Qué es lo que dicen que
somos?
Hijos de la pureza, morena impureza, los fieles a su oficio, los reyes del sacrificio, los inventores del vicio. Yo no lo asumo. Somos los hijos bastardos de la colonia, los que nunca lloraron por la añoranza de un padre asesino, los que entendieron la configuración amañada de la palabra latino. Somos djembe y marimba, guaguancó con timba, poesía, rap, rap, poesía que simbra. Somos flow y cadencia, somos skills con conciencia, somos los voceros de nuestra propia existencia. ¿Qué es lo que dicen que soy?
¿Qué es lo que dicen que somos?
It is really, really, it's really hard because when even to me, when someone asks me like, oh, so where are you from? I'm always go, I was born in Mexico City, right? But it's really hard to use the term Mexican because of all this negative implications that is behind the name, especially when you know what's behind in history. You know, what am I defending by saying I'm this or that? It's really problematic. So that's why we have a lot of work to do in terms of how we're gonna be able to gain like this process of self-denomination and how we're gonna reconstruct this whole idea of who we really are, you know. So I wanna do this piece that it's talking about one of these street vendors that go into the public transportation and start trying to hustle and sell something inside this public spaces. So, like I said, I was born in Mexico City, so you constantly see all these guys just going into the buses or the metro, the subway, and trying to like tell stories and trying to sell something and trying to survive. But I consider this as a reflection of what's going on socially, economically, politically, and in every sense. So I call this Buenas tardes, señores pasajeros. Hold on, I have some technical issues. All right. So it goes something like this. I'm trying to be one of these street vendors.
Buenas tardes, señores pasajeros. Vengo a robarles un pedazo de su tiempo sin robarles la confianza. Soy el hijo de la desesperanza, cambio poemas por monedas para que el hambre de mi descendencia no arrebate las valijas de su pertenencia. Soy una víctima más de la promesa sexenal incumplida, un capítulo más de aquella historia nacional arrepentida. Buenas tardes, señores pasajeros. Si la siguiente estación fuera su destino, sugiero una reflexión emancipadora. Resolver el acertijo contra su fórmula opresora. Apague el televisor y deme una moneda ahora, que ya no habrá paz, injusticia ni libertad verdadera en este estado de sitio. Buenas tardes, señores pasajeros. Aquí el único acto violento es la subordinación permanente y la imagen del presente que reniega ser el cliché del indigente, quien decidió no esclavizarse por la mínima cantidad de un insulto. Por una inexistente calidad de vida en esta ciudad, siente su pulso. Buenas tardes, mis señores pasajeros. Disculpen mi subjetiva torpeza al expresarme ante los menos responsables del conflicto. Sabemos que el enemigo no pisa este vagón y que el vaivén del tren no aportará en el veredicto, porque el favor que solicito, más que un pago, este es un grito que denuncia para incendiar y transformar este suplicio. Buenas tardes, señores pasajeros. Sean tan amables de canalizar sus frustraciones. No, no este trabajador social sin seguro, no. No este forajido social testarudo. Propongo redireccionarlos a su lavador cerebral de confianza, a su conquistador cultural de alabanza, al monarca de su economía familiar sin bonanza y sobre todo a su pasiva esperanza. Buenas tardes, señores pasajeros.
Important thing, it's, I want to talk about violence. Violence was another element that was immediately like inherent to black and indigenous people or black and brown people, right? We always, they're always the cultural hegemonies and the power structures are always saying that we're violent, even in the way we express ourselves, you know, like. When white people manifest, it's a rebellion, right? When our people manifest, it's a riot immediately. Like there's like in the use of words, there's like racism implicit sometimes. So I wrote this. It's called violencia, but I'm using this wordplay, using like bio as a representation of the body. So how come violence goes through the body of the oppressed, and it's a different type of violence. So it goes something like this.
Le duelen los ojos al colonialismo, se alborota la vergüenza y el látigo de la realeza emerge. Hace falta desinfectarnos con cloro, dijeron en un memorándum. Les parece grotesco el volumen, una aberración de la estética, solo referente a un estado aborigen del razonamiento. 1965, Malik al-Shabazz en el suelo y la primera rima la dispara un fusil en Watts gritando presente. That's gangsta, that's really fucking gangsta. Su golpe se denomina establecimiento del orden natural y el que suscribe lleva por nombre agresión, reflejo de su carácter irracional con matices bestiales. Suelten los perros celebrando al Congo belga, estimularé mi erección sin preservativo de por medio para que nos sigan mintiendo y haciendo el cuento de un virus de jungla. Llame ahora, 1-800-UNICEF, adopte un niño del inframundo, tan solo $15.99 el catalizador de culpas. Llame ya que el jihad se acaba. Aparece en escena el eficaz del ejercicio incluyente, el diplomático moderno de avanzada, el sutil negociador de la conciencia. Toca mi puerta para cuestionar mi gusto por el boxeo, y le di boxeo en legítima defensa de mi conciencia, con letras y puños, a puño y letra. La peste rompiendo a pedazos la escena diaria, mientras el zombie descansa en el confort de su almohada de palo. ¿Qué más violencia que tu violencia si mi violencia es necesaria? ¿Qué más violencia que tu violencia si mi violencia es libertaria? Gracias.
Okay, so... The immigration issue is another fundamental topic or issue on my body of work, right? Because I moved to New York, but not only that, you know, just because it's a basic situation to take care of as an artist with a certain type of responsibility, right? So, I was thinking about all these people going through this process of oppression in a place where they can't really articulate themselves in either English or Spanish, you know, and that's when the body of the oppressed has the capability to manifest and to talk without talking, right? That's why the name of my latest album is making reference to that power, the how come the body of the oppressed and the body of colored people has this capability to cause certain type of discomfort within certain contexts. So I was thinking, what happened if I see one of those Minutemen or one of these police officers from Arizona or somewhere else just like asking me for papers, right? So I have like this imaginary cop right here saying, mi nombre, preguntas mi nombre, Aldo Villegas. Villegas de Santander, tan solo la semántica, por el recuerdo de aquel rapto, de aquel beso a cruz de hierro, la inmolación del indio hecha historia. 1.82 metros, quizá por un mascogo que bajó por la Florida, Underground Railroad, vía Coahuila Expreso, 72 kilos de peso. Es cuestión política, mi intolerancia física hacia el queso. Ocupación, poeta. Sí, poeta, sin el suéter, cuello de tortuga beatnik y su liberalismo suburbano. En mi cuello hay marcas de tortura con sabor a Reaganomics y un pulmón del altiplano. Y aquí sigo, ilustrando al oficial John García sobre su diáspora y fenotipo. Él, bien montado en su águila calva, civilizando mi utopía, humanizando mi hombría. Tuve que explicarle que el cuento de una sociedad por racial se lo comió de postre un obeso en Dakota del Norte. Usted firmó con sangre, con ingenuidad, con júbilo pueril y dobló las manos cuando vio que el Capitolio se pintaba de colores. Se me subió el azúcar y grité en voz pasiva, quisiera verte desnudo, pendejo, para que el perro guardián fronterizo certifique tu olor histórico, para que comprendas de una vez que en este mundo la melanina, el asco, el hambre son conceptos codependientes y sin vigencia. Pero nada, no se hable más, señor oficial. Somos carne de cañón para el complejo industrial de prisiones. Y quiero pensar que soy libre, al ser legalmente imposible arrestar un hombre que no existe. Y mire que Arizona está lejos, bien lejos. Y aquí todos tizones. Y mira que Arizona está bien lejos. Todavía necesita saber mi nombre. I'm gonna do another piece. This one is called Quilombo Mocambo, and it's about this whole process of the maroon societies. So it's basically questioning this official history of this place called Mexico. And it goes something like this. Fue la promesa libertaria, los galardones de la excusa necesaria, fue la emancipación imaginaria, la sombra del Borbón inalcanzable. Tengo derecho a cuestionar lo incuestionable porque a mí no se me eriza la piel con notas clásicas. Es lo sensible en mi piel de esta locura asintomática. Me falta práctica para ser el sumiso predilecto, colgarme los bigotes del pendejo y sumarme a los fervores del complejo. Muy poco efecto me surtió la catequesis, el porfiriato, los científicos, la raza cósmica y su tesis. Y el crucifijo es el meollo, y el cura, creo yo. Sigo cortando caña y dando nombres esclavistas sin decoro. Sigues viviendo prendado, esperando el águila que indique tu tesoro. Quilombo, mocambo, en la nación del idiota me he refugiado en un quilombo, mocambo. En la nación del idiota me he refugiado en un quilombo, mocambo, quilombo, mocambo. Thank you. So in this process of colonialism and this also this another diasporic process of Mexican people traveling, crossing the borders, or being caught up on the other side of the border when Mexico was well, California was Mexico, whatever. There's like this problematic colonial situation extends all over the physical frontiers, right? So another important element is how come the Mexicans in the United States relate to this whole process of being Mexican, because now we're on the other side of the country, and they probably Spanish is not their first language. So it's like the whole experience turns to be even more problematic and more complex because it's even more confusing. So I wanna invite a really really good friend of mine, part of my collective, or the same collective, is a really good friend of mine, tremendous hip hop artist. His name is Cambio. Just to share a piece on this identity process, and I'll be back in a second. So you wanna come, Cambio?
Good. All right. All right. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hi,
Magali. How you doing? I'm from the Central Valley in California. Is anybody familiar with the Central Valley? Right. There's a lot of small towns. I'm from Eastside Bakersfield. Delano area, McFarland, all the small agricultural parts. It's actually where Cesar Chavez started his farm worker movement in Delano. So like he was saying, we met about 6 or 7 years ago, and he had heard some of the music that I had been working on. And the first album that I ever did was talking about my relationship with these borderlands, or these ideas of borderlands and growing up in the Central Valley. It wasn't like East LA or like a big city like Oakland. It's like a small little town, what I like to call, like, if New York is here, then like the South is here. That's like kind of very similar to how I see it and view it, right? So what is my relationship with that? And I've always kind of struggled with the identity, and traveling to Mexico, like my Spanish is super whack, right? And I'm traveling with one of the artists that not only speaks Spanish, but it's like he's able to speak Spanish like on another type of level. And how do I get on stage, and how do I relate to the people? And it comes down to it that my biggest fan base is actually in Mexico. It's in Latin America. It's not even here in the U.S. Like, how does that happen? And so this poem, he asked me if I would come up tonight and just kind of share the experience. And we've been working, and we talk a lot about it on our travels. We're traveling, like, on the road, and we have this conversation over and over and over again, like, these ideas of borderlands that we have even within the U.S. And I shared with him my experience growing up. We did a show in Fresno, and we were driving around Fresno, and it was like empty house, boarded up house, Central Valley, right? Like boarded up house, desolate, driving through, no cultural centers, like nothing to do, like nothing. And so we started having this conversation, and he's always asked me, why don't you write something like about your experience and coming to like identity, and we have like these identity crises and stuff. I'm a teacher in Watsonville now, and I've been teaching for the last 7 years, working with young people and working with kids. And so we have these talks of identity all the time with the young people. Predominantly, I work at a continuation high school. They don't quote-unquote succeed in the normal high school, so they come to where we're at. We have smaller classrooms, and we have these identity talks. And you'd be surprised with the younger generation, like, we're learning a lot from each other during that process, right? We're learning a lot. And they speak like, we were having a conversation this morning, the Spanish is, like, super crazy, and they're helping me, and we work with each other. And when I talk to their parents, it's, you know, it's a good laughing point for both of us. But he's trying to work with me, and he's been trying to teach me for the last 6 years. So this is kind of like the story in my relationship with music, like my relationship with other artists. Like, how do I relate to other artists when I get on stage and I'm a quote-unquote Mexican Chicano rapper? Like, what am I supposed to talk about? Or how am I supposed to sound? How am I supposed to look? Right? How am I supposed to dress? How am I supposed to act, right? I'm just supposed to be me and have, like, my consciousness, like, kind of kick in, right? So, anyways, I'll go ahead and get started on this. Sorry. All right, so it goes like this. And this is for a new song that I'm working on. So bear with me if I chop it up a little bit. So it goes like this. It says, my mama didn't raise us speaking Spanish, but it's not her fault. My pops didn't raise us watching soccer. It was basketball. Lakers on the television, Luther on the radio. Never too much, never too much. How'd it go? But he was never at the crib, which he thought I did. If I made an NBA, he would love me then. I had my older brother's crowd looking up proud, rolling weed is out, chronic bumping in the background. There was Kid Frost, now they feeling brown pride. Aztec shirts never cover how I heard a side. Why you act black? All the homies call me names, rocking jerseys by my favorite player, Penny Hardaway. Saving up all my ends, having to have the kicks. Part of a culture for the cultureless wandering kids. Couldn't tell you about my people's pyramids, but named Chicago starting five, even those who rode the bench. Travel to the great western form, call it pilgrimage. Other kids, mother villages, language and experience, all imagining. Having making it, having money never broken, getting dating women known for modeling, shit. Back to reality, couldn't really be mad at me, most of us never making an NBA salary. But I get the feeling of how this was purposely made to be. They brought the cross and the ball, then left us without identity. Now I'm in college, no hoops, no longer a point of view. Now I'm chilling on campus, no longer had any roots. I remember my brother was homeless while I'm in college, spending days in the library, yeah, he getting that knowledge, schooling me on a world I honestly never knew. The first time I ever wanted to study would nothing do. From the Mayans to China, trading philosophies, honestly, Socrates had nothing on Dada Ching. I recall when my whole world changed. He gave me dead prez on cassette tape. So inspired, I later started a band in Spanish. Para la gente rocking and raging, we was a fan. Now we play in colleges, Oakland, LA, rallies, demonstrations, yeah, we making a name. Meeting different performers, and some of them super whack. More focused on what they're wearing than the fact they can't rap. Lost for so long, just looking to fitting in. Even taking a diss from them red diaper kids. Like I was trying to live an Edward James almost flick. As if my testimonial wasn't legit. But it was, expressing it through my song. That's when my brother from Mexico City came along. From the Central Valley down in Chiapas, we rocking stages. Now my biggest fan base doesn't even speak the language. But I know it's bigger than that. Matter of fact, I'm breaking borders only talked about in class. You ain't feeling this, you can kiss my ass. But if you are, thank you very much, fam. And this is for my people that's living these borderlands. We hopping them like the cops is chasing us. Yeah, this is for my people that's living in borderlands. We're hopping them like the cops is chasing us. Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, I'm just gonna do two other short pieces, and then I guess it's time for us to exchange some words and just make it like this is a true interaction and exchange. So. Everybody is aware of what's going on in Mexico with the drug lords and all that situation and the way the system is just like totally part of that process. So even when the country is going through a war that's killing like hundred thousand people like in the last 6 years, people are still thinking twice about confronting this whole identity system, right? They still, and you know, I guess Don Porfirio Diaz was really effective with his bullshit. So it goes something like this, it's called Noa Noa. And it says, 9 a 5, 6 por semana, salud se rompe cual porcelana, grita el subordinado, basta, comprando a plazos escalones en la casta. Miel en hojuelas para esta autoflagelación rutinaria. Muerto, muerto que respira en pos de ser liberto. Consume el miedo y inmoviliza cualquier posibilidad de fuga. Lo miro caminando, espalda rota, con un abuso ese costal de culpas. Gracias, Occidente, por la bendición autodestructiva y el pavor al oscuro. Por el empoderamiento del exterminio a través del verbo. Por enseñarme a venerar al vikingo con su espada en mi garganta. Y sigo muerto, muerto que respira en pos de ser liberto. Bienvenidos al inframundo. Este es el carnaval grotesco de la AK-47 despolitizada. Solo en pro del oro, el exceso, la obesidad, el poder del rezo mal verde.
Y esa glamorización del bandido huevudo que habla en balas mientras descansa sus espuelas en los finos tapetes del palacio de gobierno. Suelta el tiro y a correr en este pueblo, que este pueblo ya no es tuyo. Está acorazado en un búnker invisible esquivando a la muerte con sangre, acariciándola con savia cada mañana. Y dile al cabrón de Juárez que la paz y el respeto suenan como ingenuas alegorías al romance. Luego préndele fuego al Noa Noa para resurgir sanos en este drama. Y aquí, aquí se hay muertos, muertos que vigilan las fronteras del luto y del silencio. Yo me negué a morir, pego un brinco y me reinvento, porque tan solo soy un muerto que respira en pos de ser liberto. Muerto. So this is the final piece I'm gonna do tonight, and when we're talking about the body of the oppressed, it's inevitable to talk about the sexuality of the oppressed and how we became almost animalized, right? That was one of the contributions of the African heritage in Mexico, right? Like libido. We're supposed to be like animals with this unstoppable sexual drive, right? Almost like this sex machine savages. So when I grew up with like internalizing that situation, and once I'm facing this so-called conscious communities or conscious circles, I'm always like confronting this whole idea that to me happens to be like super conservative of putting the woman as virgins, right? Like untouchable, immaculate beings that the only function in life that they have is to be a semen receptacle, just ready to have babies, and no other position available within the structure. And that is something that I face constantly within the cultural Chicano movements, you know? Now I'm not talking about the Chicano understanding as a political affirmation, but as a cultural one. So I wrote this that I'm having an imaginary woman right next to me saying, "Hola, ¿qué tal?" Y es que yo no entiendo si el qué tal es el modismo actual de introducción real, pero verás mis credenciales, mis rasgos faciales, mis modales. Soy un poeta. No. No de ese tipo de poetas, ni lo piensas, que me ofendes, que me hace pensar que no comprendes. Mi lengua es calle, mi parnaso una guerrilla, mi pluma una mirilla y mi sonrisa es bien sencilla. Veo que tú no estás en la jugada esa de andar enajenada con el plástico en la cara, en la cartera y en la... nada. Yo no veo a Hollywood en tu película, veo transparencia en tu retícula. Y 2 kilos de más que te quedan demasiado bien en tu figura. Y 2 libros de más que enriquecen tu cultura. Y no es la glorificación de la mujer como un ente proveedor de vida e inútil para el resto. Ni esa apreciación virginal purista que tanto detesto. Claro estoy de tus naturales complicaciones. Hemos aprendido a ver que lo que el resto denomina imperfecciones son en realidad mis pros, mis adicciones. Esto no es una aproximación sutil de un intelectual sin melanina. Que mi supuesta irracionalidad es justa y hierve. Y estoy con ganas de comerte viva a cada paso que caminas. Y no me importa ningún estatus o protocolo. Que lo verdaderamente incorrecto de lo político es ese monarca encubierto con atuendo de hombre moderno consciente. Así que, hermana, con tu permiso y sin tu permiso, te digo, qué rica.